चार्वांग्रीजं गुरु निम्न जानु सुदर्शनम् निम्न जानु सुदर्शनम् श्याम श्रोणी अधिरोचिष्णु श्याम श्रोणी अधिरोचिष्णु दुकुलास्वर्णमेखलम् समाचार्वांग्रीजं गुरु समाचार्वांग्रीजं गुरु निम्नजानुषुदर्शनम् श्यामश्रोण्यादिरोचिष्णु दुकुलास्वर्णमेखलम् समाचार्वांग्रीजं गुरु निम्नजानुषुदर्शनम् श्यामश्रोण्यादिरोचिष्णु दुकुलास्वर्णमेखलम् श्यामचार्वांग्रीजं गुरु निम्नजानुषुदर्शनम् श्याम
ब्लैकिश
श्रोणी
lower part of the waist,
adhi, extra, rochishnu, pleasing, dukula, garments, swarna, golden, mekhalam, belt, sama, symmetrical, charu, beautiful, angri, lotus feet, jangha, calves, uru, thighs, nimna, lower, janu, knees, sudarsanam, very beautiful. Translation proposed by Sri Vaishnava Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki translation. The lower part of the Lord's waist is dark and covered with a yellow garment, and the belt bedecked with golden embroidery work. His symmetrical lotus feet and calves, thighs and joints of his legs are extraordinarily beautiful. Indeed, the Lord's entire body appears to be well built. Translation responsibly. The lower part of the Lord's waist is dark and covered with yellow garments. And a belt bedecked with golden embroidery work. His symmetrical lotus feet and the calves, thighs and joints of his legs are extraordinarily beautiful. Indeed, the Lord's entire body appears to be well built. Purport. Lord Shiva is one of the 12 great authorities mentioned in Srimad Bhagavatam, 6th Canto, Chapter 3, Text 20. These authorities are Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapila, Manu, Prahlada, Janaka, Bhishma, Bali, Vyasaki or Shukadeva Goswami, and Yamaraj. The impersonalists who generally worship Lord Shiva should learn of the transcendental Satchidananda Vigraha of the Lord. Here, Lord Shiva kindly describes the details of the Lord's bodily features. Thus, the impersonalist arguments that the Lord has no form cannot be accepted under any circumstances. Om Jnana Dimirantasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurunmilitanmena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavam Sri Rupam Sakajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam E Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagat Pate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneswari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamani Hari Priya Vancha Kalpaturu Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Sivasadi Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Mukam Kuruti Vachalam Mukam Kuruti Vachalam Hare Krishna. So we are continuing to hear the very beautiful the Rudra Gita, the song sung by Lord Shiva. Who is he giving this instruction to? Prachetas, yes. And Lord Shiva is very beautifully, systematically, and going through description, and now is in the point of describing Lord's beauty of the Lord's bodily features. He already has, in the previous verse, has described, starting from his head, his hair, the face, yesterday he described the Lord's abdomen. And to today, he is describing his the waist and knees. And tomorrow he will be describing his lotus feet and nails, etc. So he's describing the beauty of Lord's form. Srila Prabhupada in the purport, he again, whenever he gets an opportunity, he hits the impersonalist, Mayavadi. First thing he said, the Mayavadi generally, their concept is that Lord does not have a form. So Prabhupada immediately gets an opportunity and he says, how can it be possible? Here, the Lord Shiva himself is describing and the beautiful body of the Lord. So Prabhupada says, Mayavadis are, their knowledge is incomplete. Yeah. When they say the Lord doesn't have a form, it's unacceptable. Srila Prabhupada also describes in the purport the 12 Mahajans. The Mahajana in word, it means, Maha means great, Jana means the people in general, or citizen, or the person, people. So these are the great persons, great personalities. Why they are great? Because they are following the scripture very systematically. According to time, place and circumstances, they have followed the conclusion of Vedas or Shastras and apply that into their personal life. That's why they are Mahajans. There's a verse quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita by Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami, which was taken from Mahabharata, where Yudhishthira Maharaj gives the definition or the Mahajans. He says, "Tako pratistha sriyato vihinna nasa rasi asya matam nabhinam dharmasya tattvam nihitam guhaya mahajana yena kathasa pantha." In other words, he's saying that the Vedic knowledge is so vast. There's a lot of tarka and vitarka. You can go on, trying to get the conclusion. And the easiest way for us and people in general is to follow dharmasya tattvam, those who are knowing the truth of dharma, they follow them. Dharmasya tattvam nihita guhayam, in their heart all dharma is present, they can guide you. Therefore it says mahajana ena kathasa pantha, follow them, be okay. So today I thought I'm just dedicating here. This is now been hearing the glories of Lord Shiva and different the personalities of prayer. So we'll just discuss the little bit of life of, just a synopsis of the life of these 12 Mahajans. So who is in the first in the list? Swayambhu. Who is Swayambhu?
Lord Rama.
Swayambhu. He's given Swayambhu. Why is he called Swayambhu?
Born, self-born.
Yes. He does not have a... He's not born as we are born, as mother and father, combination of mother and father. He is born from the navel of Lord Vishnu, Garbhadakshaya Vishnu, he born. That's why it's called Swayambhu. He's not born as we are born, he's manifested. That's why it's called Swayambhu. Swayambhu is the Brahma. So who is Brahma? His first created being, very first in the creation. And he is the in charge of secondary creator, which means that Lord Vishnu gives them all the ingredients, which is all the elements, earth, water, fire, air, ether, and everything. So he gives to Lord Brahma, he provides to Lord Brahma, and Lord Brahma further creates, such as plants, such as planets, such as different types of living entities. He creates this. So he's given the task, he's called his creator, Lord Brahma. how does he create? He gets the knowledge from Lord Vishnu or Krishna. Krishna gives him the knowledge to create. In Srimad Bhagavatam, very first verse is Tene Brahma Hrida Adi Kavaye. He receives the knowledge from Krishna to create the universe, create for the creation. And Lord Brahma is also head of all the demigods. Yeah? Lord Brahma is also the father of all created beings, because everything that comes from, starting from Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma has created rishis. From rishis, they marry different devahuti, akuti, and all those, and then they expand. So he is also our father. And Lord Brahma is also the author and the knower of four Vedas. All the Vedic scriptures, knowledge, everything that's come emanates. Because he receives through Krishna gives him the knowledge, and then he expands. He's also knower of the four Vedas. For Lord Brahma is also the head of one of the Vaishnava Sampradaya. Which one? Gaudiya Vaishnava, yes. Brahma, Madhva, Gaudiya, Vaishnava. Out, we are in the line of Lord Brahma. And we'll discuss also this. There's Shiva, there's Kumaras. So he is also head of the Sampradaya, Acharya. He's one of the Acharya for us. And throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam, Lord Brahma comes in many cantos and has different interaction with the different personalities. So, in this discussion, what I thought was, we will take a small one or two lessons from all these Mahajanas' teachings. What they have taught, how they put it from different sources, different scriptures, especially from Srimad Bhagavatam. We will see all these 12 Mahajans are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So as from Brahma, I thought of a very nice verse, how he is being, though he is a creator, he is given so much power. And how does he compare himself to the Lord Krishna? How does he, how was due to humility? In Brahma Samhita, verse number 49, in the fifth chapter, he describes, Bhasman yathasma sakalesu nijesu teja siyam kiyat prakatiyat trapitantra. Brahma esa jagadanda vidhana karta govindamadi purusham tamaham bhajami. How does he compare himself? Bhasman yathasma. Bhasman means the ray, the sun or the light. Yatha means as. And how does he comparing himself? Asma. Asma is a jewel. That jewel which takes the light from the sun and it shines for some time. It works. So how is he comparing himself? The Lord is the original source. He is getting the light from that source, Lord power, and then he is able to create. Look at the humility, how Brahma is comparing himself. I am just like a stone that receives the light from this sun and shines for some time. And then that light is illuminated as long as we get the power from that original source. That is my situation. That is my position. Lord Brahma is saying here, this verse. So he said, Brahma yesa jagadanda vidhana karta. It's so seeing that I am the Vidhan Karta, I am the creator. But my source, it's not me. See how Brahma is taking the positions. It's the humility. Such is the qualities of these. We learn from this Mahajan. Why they are called Mahajan? This is what is there. Even though they are knower of everything, even though they are creator, look at their humility, look at their the teachings, what they're showing us. That don't take pride. Everything belongs to Krishna. Everything comes from Krishna. Everything comes from the Lord. We are just simply a very insignificant beings. Now, next personality is Swayambhu Narada. Yes. Narada is, next personality is mentioned, he is also one of the 12 Mahajan. Narada is very special personality. Yes, Narada is the, whose son is he?
My son.
Who?
My
son. Yes, one of the life, he was my servant, son of my servant, yeah. Originally son of? Lord Brahma. Yes. He is younger brother of four Kumaras. And Narada Muni is also spiritual master of? Demigods, Prahlad, Vyasadeva. So he is. What is his activities? He's always giving. What is he giving?
Bhakti.
He's preaching. That's his primary thing. Always in the mode of compassion, going out there, reaching out there, and giving the Krishna consciousness to everyone. Narada Muni in Srimad Bhagavatam, practically every canto Narada Muni is described. He appears in the description of some sort of, is there in every canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. First canto, anybody can remember?
This one.
Instructing Vyas?
Yeah.
Vyasadeva. Yeah, when Vyasadeva was feeling frustrated, he comes and instructs Vyasadeva. Second canto also, he has conversation, the whole conversation of Narada Muni and Lord Brahma is mentioned there. Third canto is also there, some he is given how he was born from Brahma. Fourth canto, we hear him, we heard Dhruva Maharaj. So practically every canto, Narada Muni is there. Yes, as Mataji mentioned that Narada Muni was cursed to become a Gandharva. His Gandharva, he was known as Upavarhana Gandharva. Even in the Gandharva, he was cursed to become a son of May servant. In Gandharva, he was in the assembly of the great demigods and different personalities. Instead, he had that ability to sing very nicely. And in the assembly of this great personality, he was actually not focused and he was singing the glories of the beautiful ladies or something. He was just not on the sainted mood. So therefore, he was cursed to become a servant. Then in when he becomes a maid servant, son of maid servant, how did he get liberated?
By
associating with the saintly personalities. It so happened that the sages, they were traveling through. He was in the forest. He was traveling through in the Chaturmasya. So he had the association of these great personalities. Not only association, he also had opportunity to eat their remnants, Mahaprasad, from the saint. And we know that how he had a darshan of Lord Vishnu, and then Lord Vishnu just gave him a glance, and then he said, now you'll have to perform tapasya, and then next life, you'll come back to being a Lord, back to the position of Narada. What Narada means? What is the word very Narada means? Anyone? Na means the supreme, Nara means the supreme Lord. Da means the giver. That personality, he who gives Narayan to everyone, that's called Narada. Narada. Da means to give. Narada. Narada, yes, as in the sixth canto also he comes. Narada is also being cursed. By whom? In the sixth canto.
Daksha.
Why is he being cursed? Why does he get cursed?
Because he's making devotees.
Yes, again, now he's going out and giving Narayan to Hariyaswas, the 10,000 sons of Daksha. And then he preached to them, and then he converted, he made them brahmacharis. And then again, so first 10,000, he converted them as a devotee, and then 1,000, one more 1,000 of the sons of Daksha, he also converted as a devotee. He made him the devotee. So then finally the Daksha got so upset and he said, you know, I'm trying to populate the creation. Now you're stopping them. So he said, what is the curse? You remember?
Yeah.
Yes.
You can't stay in one place for more than 3 days.
Yes. You cannot stay in one place for a longer period of time. You have to constantly travel. Was it a curse or a benediction?
Blessing.
Blessing, yes. Why? Then he can constantly go in praise Krishna consciousness. Yes, true. That's what he does. Yes. John just came in. We're just discussing the 12 great personalities being described in Srimad Bhagavatam. In the purport of Srila Prabhupada mentions these great 12 personalities. So we're describing one by one, just a little synopsis of these personalities. So we're just discussing the Narada Muni. So now, who is the next personality? Lord Shiva. We've been hearing now, last whole so many speakers have spoken the glories of Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva is a very special personality. Now, as we're hearing, he is, yes, one of the Mahajan, again, Lord Shiva. And what is one of the good quality of Lord Shiva? Great Vaishnava, yes, he is the Vaishnavanam, Yatha Sambhu, yes, he is the greatest of all the Vaishnavas. Yeah? And he is easily pleased. What's his name?
Ashutosh.
Yes. And if you look at the features of Lord Shiva, what is he wearing? Just a simple cloth. Wearing Rudraksha, smearing the ashes, and he has the snakes. Yeah. What does that entail? What does it give you? What does it symbolizes?
Detachment.
Yes. When the personalities are detached, they don't have all this opulent. They're not presenting themselves very opulent. Lord Shiva is always in meditation, constantly thinking of the Lord. Simple. Even smearing ashes and all those things, snakes and everything, what is it? It just doesn't want to be disturbed. So by looking at the features of Lord Shiva, people generally are not really attracted. Yeah. Who would be attracted if you have skulls on your and your as a garlands and you have ashes and your smear and in your body? Very not appealing, right? So why is he doing that? He's Mahajan. He's a great devotee. It's just to keep away all those unwanted personalities. People will be curious, but it doesn't really appeal. It's not appealing, feature. Yeah, you walk around with a skull in the city today. you would be looked in a slightly differently than you would be looked at normal. So yeah. And he also drank the
poison.
Why? Because the poison came out of the churning of the ocean, and then somebody had to, the poison had to go somewhere. Correct? Who took it? Lord Shiva. What happened then? Yes. And he's known as?
Nilakantha.
Yes. Nila, blue. Kantha means throat. Huh? He became a Nilakantha. Wonderful. He's also in charge of false ego. Or the Lord Sankarsana is the ultimate in charge of the ego or the identity. The Lord Shiva is given the same similar charge in this universe creation and in charge of false ego. Lord Shiva is also in charge of tamagun. Lord Shiva also plays the role as in creation, maintenance and destruction somewhat. As Mathura Manohar very nicely explained the other day, that in the creation, yeah, he is the instrument that becomes, when the creation starts, Lord Shiva is the impregnates, takes that from spiritual to the material energy. So he's also in charge of, at the end of the at the annihilation, the universe, he's also in charge of annihilation. And so we're hearing this, how Lord Shiva, what's the character of Lord Shiva? By receiving seeing these instructions of, he's always meditating on the Lord. Even his instructions are given to Prachetas are on Krishna. That's his Lord Shiva. Who's next? So we described Brahma, described Narada, Lord Shiva. What's the next one? Four Kumaras. Yes. Who are four Kumaras? You know?
Narada, son of Brahma.
Yes. The very first sons of Brahma. Four Kumaras. What are they? How old are they? How will they stay? Remain to stay? Five, correct. Why? Anyone know? Why they decided to remain as a 5 years old personality?
Krishna doesn't age.
Yes, Krishna doesn't age. That's correct. But yes, Krishna.
Because when they're a kid, their brain is mature, their mind is in the
brain. That's correct. As they wanted to remain a dedicated, they didn't want as the body grows, when they're the young child, they have very, the innocence is there. Huh? They're not disturbed by this external material senses, desires, lust, anger, greed, all that thing. That's not, children do not have. Children have very, very less, if not none. Therefore, when Lord Brahma created them, first asked them to create. They said, no, we don't want to get into this business. We will remain a lifelong celibate. We will not get married. And also, not only that, we will remain like 5 years old. No older than that. Even though they are the oldest, very first created being, but they decided to not to age. So all the senses and everything doesn't bother them. That was the reason. And they are also the Sampradaya Acharyas. Which Sampradaya?
Nimbarka
Sampradaya, yes. The four Sampradayas, one comes from Brahma, another comes from four Kumaras. They are also Vaishnava Sampradayas. And we also heard some of the instruction that these Kumaras gave recently. Anybody remembers? Two? Ritu Maharaj. Yes, I've got a great support here. Yes, Kumaras came and instructed Prithu Maharaj. Let's read couple of instructions they give, few instructions that gave to Prithu Maharaj to know the mood of these personalities, Kumaras. Huh? This is in the canto 4, chapter 22, text number 23, 24, and 25. This is Kumaras speaking to Prithu Maharaj. Huh? What are they saying? One has to make progress in spiritual life by not associating with any persons who are simply interested in sense gratification, making money. Not only such person, but one who associates with such person should be avoided. One should mold his life in such a way that he cannot live in peace without drinking the nectar of the glorification of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Hari. One cannot thus elevate by being disgusted with this taste of sense enjoyment. So what's the summary of this verse, this instruction? That give up the bad association, always hear the nectarian, transcendental pastimes and glories of the Lord. Devotees should gradually increase the culture of devotional service by constant hearing the transcendental qualities of the Supreme Personality Godhead. These pastimes are like ornamental decoration on the eaves of the devotees. By rendering devotional service and transcending the material qualities, one can easily fix the transcendence in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Again, I'm saying, hear about the Lord, Sravanam, very important message. Huh? Now, who is the next personality on the 12 Mahajan list? So we finished Brahma, we done Narada, Shiva, Kumaras. Next one? Kapila. Yes, Lord Kapila. Who is Lord Kapila?
Kapila is the son of Devahuti.
Yes, Kapila is the son of Devahuti. Who is his father? Kardama Muni. Yes. Yes, Kapila Dev is the plenary expansion of the Lord Himself, Krishna Himself. He came as the son of Devahuti and Kardama Muni. He is the grandson of Swayambhu Manu. Yes, Swayambhu Manu's daughter, Devahuti. Devahuti's son is Kapila Dev. What did he teach, Lord Kapila Dev? Sankhya philosophy. What is Sankhya philosophy? Sankhya means number. So the entire creation is combination and permutation of different elements. Earth, water, fire, air, ether, senses, mind, intelligent, false ego, soul, super soul, and working senses, knowledge gathering senses. So this combination of this is the creation. So all that science is called Sankhya Yoga. And he is the propounder, he is the founder, he is he taught the science of this devotional service through the different elements, combination, how Lord is creator, Lord has created this. So that's Sankhya philosophy. So Lord Kapila Dev is the propounder of Sankhya philosophy. Let's hear once, because we're running out of time. Let's hear one verse that Lord Kapila Dev had taught when he gave that instruction to Mother Devahuti, his mother. This is from Canto 3, Chapter 25, Text 25. Satam prasangam mamabirya samvido. Again, this is Bhavanti rit karna rasayana katha tad joshanav asu apavarga vartmani sradha bhakti bhakti anukramishati. He's saying, in the association of the pure devotee, discussion of the pastimes and activities of the Supreme Personality Godhead is very pleasing and satisfying to the ears and heart. By cultivating such knowledge, one gradually becomes advanced in the path of liberation. Thereafter, he is free and his attraction becomes fixed. The real devotion and devotional service begins. Again, even though he is teaching the whole philosophy through the science of Sankhya Yoga, what is he culminating? What is he saying? Come in the association of the devotees and hear the narration of Lord. Who is next? We've done Brahma. So by this end of the class, we should remember all 12 Mahajans. So Brahma. Who's next? Who was after Narada? Yes. And then
Shiva.
And then Kumaras.
Kapila.
Next is Swayambhu Manu. Yes. Swayambhu Manu is the grandfather of Lord Kapila Dev. Swayambhu Manu is the also son of Brahma, very first Brahma. Swayambhu Manu and Satrupa, they are the, we are known as Manushya, correct? Manushya means Manu, of Manu. All humanity, they are born here, is the combination of, those who are born as combination of mother and father are known as Manushya. Because we all, our lineage, everything comes from Manu. Manu and Satrupa. Manu and Satrupa had 5 kids. Uttanapad, Priyavrata, Akuti, Devahuti, Prashuti. And the whole lineage starts come from the whole. Anything that's born between combination of mother and father, they are in the lineage of Manu. So we are known as Manushya. That's why we know the Manushya. And he has also, he is the authority of, he has laid the law for the mankind. It's called Manusamhita, Manusmriti. They all created or put together by Manu. That's why we follow the law of mankind. In this, he's gone to such a detailed knowledge how the Varnashram system works, and what's the duty of Brahmana, what's the duty of Kshatriya, what's the duty of if you're a lady, what's the duty of a man, what's your duty of if you're a student. And he gives elaborate, big, very detailed description of how mankind, how the Manushya should conduct himself. So he is the original, again, he's Mahajan. Yeah, why is he Mahajan? Because they put aside a set of laws that we follow. Following these laws, we make progress. So one of the verse in this third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, Sukadeva Goswami described what his activities were for Swayambhu Manu. We heard the whole pastimes of Swayambhu Manu and Devahuti getting married to Kardamuni and all that. And in that section, Sukadeva Goswami mentioned a couple of verses, so just read 2 verses. Third canto, chapter 22, verse number 34. Thus the Swayambhu Manu was saintly king. Although absorbed in the material happiness, he was not degraded to the lowest grade of life. For he always enjoyed his material happiness in Krishna consciousness atmosphere. He passed his time, which lasted 71 cycles of 4 ages. Kali Yuga, Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, Sat Yuga. 71 cycle. Huh? That is 71 times 432,000 years. Always thinking of Vasudeva. Sa evam swantaram nimye yogana ekasaktitam. Vasudeva prasangena. That's the Sanskrit translation. Vasudeva. He's always engaged in the matter of regarding Vasudeva. Thus he transcended three destinations. That's how. So this is the quality of Swayambhu Manu. Who's next? Prahlad. Prahlad Maharaj. I think everyone is speaking. So Prahlad Maharaj. Who's Prahlad Maharaj? Grandson of? Swayambhu Manu. Grandson of Swayambhu Manu? No. Prahlad Maharaj.
Yeah.
So Prahlad is not.
It's Dhruva Maharaj.
That's Dhruva Maharaj. Yes, they are similar. They are both devotees, very young devotees. Yes, Prahlad Maharaj. Yes. Prahlad Maharaj comes in the line of demoniac family. Who? Who is his father? Hiranyakashipu. Wake up. Yes. Huh? And what he was what? A devotee. Just see, it's not that devotion service is not practiced in the in a demoniac. If you're being born in the family of demoniac.
Whose son is Hiranyakashipu?
Sorry?
Whose son is
Hiranyakashipu? Hiranyakashipu was the son of Kashyap and Diti. Yes, so the Prahlad Maharaj comes in the demonic mind. He's born as a devotee. From her very childhood, he's Krishna consciousness. Who is his guru?
Narada.
Narada Muni. Again, the Narada Muni is giving Narayan to everyone. Even Prahlad Maharaj he didn't spare. You know, even though he's coming in demonic life, family, he's giving it. Why didn't you give it to this? It's you have to be a patra. In order to give something, you need to have something to give. If he's not willing to take, Prahlad was willing to take, Kayadu was willing to take, he gave. Kayadu is his wife, his demonic wife, but she received it. Hiranyakashipu, was he there to receive? Was he willing to take it? No. If somebody is not willing to take, how can he give? That's why he didn't give. So he gave that. What is Prahlad Maharaj teaches? Very fundamental, very well. Very nice verse. Komaram acharet pragyo. What is he saying? Komara. Komara is the age of around 5 years. That age is known as Komara. Acharet pragyo dharma bhagavataniya durlabham manusam janma. Tadapi adrugam arthadam. This human form of life is durlabham, very rare. What is he saying? It's also rare, but it's arthadam. It gives artha means
meaning. Is it meaning?
No, artha means no. Artha means the wealth, value, valuable wealth. Even though this money is rare, it's valuable. But it is adhruvam, it is temporary. Therefore, what do you do? Dharman Bhagavataniya. You worship Bhagavata, the Lord Supreme. From what? Acharya Komaram, very young age. There you are. It's live example here, sitting there. Isn't it? Komaram acharit pragyo dharman bhagavataniya durlabham manusam jeyam tadapi adrubam arthadam. Don't waste your life. That's what another means. What is it saying? Don't waste your life. This time we will go fast. So who's next? We finished Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kapila, Kumara, Swayambhu Manu? Prahlad Maharaj? Now, Janaka. Who is Janaka?
Father of Sita.
Sorry?
Father of Sita.
Father of Mother Sita. Yes, wife of Lord Ramachandra. Janaka. Janaka was another great personality. He is briefly mentioned in Bhagavatam, but it's in Ramayana we hear a lot about, because she's in the pastime of Lord Ramachandra. Very great personality. Always, again, he was such a saintly king. Lord Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, mentioned the name of Janaka. Remember what chapter? Third chapter. For what? What is the third chapter known for? Karma Yoga. And he gives an example of who has done the Karma Yoga best of ability? Perfection? Janaka. This is in the text number 20, chapter 3, Lord Krishna. Karma naiva hi samsiddhim astita janaka adaya loka sangraham evapi sampasyan kartum arhasi. King such as Janaka attained the perfection solely by performing prescribed duty. This is Lord Krishna saying in Bhagavad Gita. Therefore, just for the sake of his deed, he's asking Arjuna to do the same thing. You follow the, what, similar, your duty. Therefore, just for the sake of educating people in general, you should also perform work. So Lord Krishna is giving an example of Janaka as a great king to follow. I remember a short story of Janaka Maharaj, that once Janaka Maharaj is a very always receiving and serving the great Vaishnavas. He's always seeking for that association. He used to invite the great sages to his palace and have a big discussion. He's always here, the nectaric pastimes of Lord. In such one case, he's also has a very good interaction, and also he takes instruction from the great sage Astavakra. Do you know who's Astavakra? Anybody? Astavakra is a saintly person, but his physical body is deformed in 8 different places. Astavakra. But however, he was a great learned sage. Astavakra. There's also Astavakra Gita. It's very, you know, conversation between Maharaj Janaka and Astavakra. So once, in this exchange of, you know, learning instruction, the Astavakra had many disciples also. And the king used to come in here constantly, and it's very frequent. And these disciples were thinking, why our Guru Maharaj, who is such a renowned person, you know, taking so much interest and associating with this worldly person, worldly who's a king. He's a royal, he's a king, he's got all the opulence, and he's, you know. Why is he taking so much interest? And then this thought of his disciples, somehow the Astavakra says, also came to know. So why? So he wanted to actually give them a lesson. So he told one of the servant of Maharaj Janaka. Maharaj Janaka was recently, you know, hearing that this exchange of the pastime, so he was so much absorbed hearing the pastime from. Then the Astavakra had instructed one of the soldiers of Maharaj Janaka to come while the discussion is taking place, come and tell Janaka Maharaj that his palace, the whole palace and everything was burning. So as instructed, the soldier came and sat next to Maharaj Janaka while he was listening to the discourse. And then he told and came to king. He said, Maharaj, your palace, whole everything, your kingdom, everything is in a fire, burning. Guess what Janaka Maharaj did?
What do you think he did?
Take care of it, leave me alone.
Sorry?
Take care of it, leave me alone.
No.
He chastised this person who delivered that message to him. He said, how dare, how you, I'm in this so much, in the listening to this Krishna Katha. This message could be given and you disturb my conversation. Forget the kingdom. This is most important. He was that kind of personality. And he was, and then seeing this exchange, actually it was just made up, it wasn't the truth, but seeing these things, what did the disciple learn? To see what is the, where is the consciousness of this king, Janaka was. He was told the whole kingdom is in a fire. Yet he was listening. He says, don't disturb. This is secondary. Such was the, and in the same instance, also he wanted to teach them where they are at, all the disciples. So what did he do? He said, now, while the katha is taking place, he got one of the disciples to come and announce. What was the announcement? He said that one of the disciples came and announced to the, all the listeners, all these disciples who were sitting also there. And he announced, he said, my dear sages, there's a monkey in the cottage and tearing off all your belongings and clothing. Guess what the disciples do? Everybody ran to protect their belongings, what they had. All they had was a few pieces of, you know, their belongings, their cloth or also coping or whatever the thing was. And then they were running to protect that. So what is the lesson the Ashtabhakta was trying to teach his disciples? That look at the difference between you practicing as a, you know, disciple, as a, you know, where you, we were told that your little dhoti or a piece of cloth when you, your belonging was being thrown a monkey, you immediately ran out of Krishna Katha. Whereas the king, who had all the palace, who was being burned in a fire, he was angry to be disturbed. That is the quality of such the king of Janaka. So, we finish Janaka. Who's next?
Bhishma.
Who's Bhishma? Krishna, who is Bhishma?
Bhishma is the...
Who is his father?
Santanu
Maharaj, yes. Who is his mother?
His mother.
Ganga, yes. So Bhishma was son of Santanu Maharaj and mother Ganga. And...
Grandfather of Pandava,
yes. Yes, he's also Pitamaha. Yes, that's correct. How is your grandfather? Even though he didn't get married, but he was related. Santanus had three sons. One was Bhishma, Chitravirya, and Chitrangada. Chitrangada died early, and then Chitravirya married two princes, and then there's a whole story of Vyasudeva. Yes. So anyway, yes, he's the grandfather of, but he's not directly grandfather as such, yeah. Of Pandavas, yes. And he took up vow of celibacy. Why? Krishna? Why did he take vow of celibacy? Bhishma. Agree?
Because there was, I think, a conflict between something.
Yeah, a conflict between something, yes. That's what he said. Yes, because he wanted to please his father. Father wanted to marry a Satyavati, and Satyavati had a condition that yes, that my sons will be the kings. Anyway, so the long story short, he took a vow of celibacy to please Satyavati and his father. He's also knower of the whole Varnashram system, Dharma. If you read Mahabharata, Bhishma Dev has given a very elaborate, in Santi Parvati Gris, the instruction how king should rule. What is the dharma of a king? What is the Varnashram dharma? What is the dharma of stri? What is the ladies or men? Very elaborate instruction given. And in Srimad Bhagavatam also, very briefly, Sukadeva Goswami mentions, so yeah, he gives very elaborate explanation of on the division charity, how to give charity, who to give charity, the activities of the kings, liberation, istri dharma, and so on and so forth. So he gives whole instruction. I'll just read a verse that was offered by Lord Bhishma Dev to Lord Krishna in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. This is chapter 9, text number 38. May he, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who awards salvation, and be my ultimate destination on the battlefield, as he charged me. As if angry because of wounds dealt by my sharp arrows, his shield was shattered and his body was smeared with the blood due to his wounds. At that moment of death, let my ultimate attraction be to Sri Krishna, Personality of Godhead. I concentrate my mind upon the chariot driver of Arjuna, who stood with a whip on his right hand and the bridle rope on his left hand, who is very careful in giving protection to Arjuna. Arjuna's chariot by all means. Those who saw him in the battlefield of Kurukshetra attained their original form of death. Ultimately, he's meditating on the same form what he saw in the battlefield while he was fighting with Lord Krishna. That is his desire. So always again, he was a great Mahajan, great personality, and he is taking a role to give pleasure to Lord Krishna in the as a chivalry or as a opponent or fighter. That was his service to Krishna. That was a great fighter. And two more. How many more? Kali Maharaj and Sukadeva, three more to go. Okay, we need to get there. So who's the next one? Bali Maharaj. Who's Bali Maharaj? Bali Maharaj is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. He also, Lord Vamanadev's pastimes all takes place because of Vamanadev. Bali Maharaj is where is he living now? Planet called Sutala. And what's Lord Vamanadev giving benediction? He will be his doorkeeper. Because he has, what is his greatest quality? He was such a learned person, and his also greatest quality was that he surrendered everything to the Lord. Atmanivedam, he's the Atmanivedam. And just one verse from Srimad Bhagavatam of Bali Maharaj offering his prayer to Vamanadev. He says, although bereft of riches, he says, what is the use of material body which will automatically leave the owner at the end of life? This is Bali Maharaj speaking to Vamanadeva. And what is the use of one's family members who is actually blurring the taking away the money and the useful for the service of the Lord in spiritual opulence? What is the use of wife? He sees only the source of increasing material condition. And what is the use of family, home, country, and community? The attachment for them merely wastes the valuable energy of one's life. See the detachment of Pali Maharaj. Pali Maharaj comes in the line of Prahlad Maharaj. He is the grandson of Prahlad Maharaj. So see again, being in a, you know, in a family of demon doesn't really disqualify you. So it's great about it. He comes in the Mahajan. Sukadeva Goswami, yes. Entire Srimad Bhagavatam was spoken by Sukadeva Goswami. That's the whole entire instruction is there for us in Srimad Bhagavatam. And finally, Yamaraj. Yamaraj is also one of the 12 Mahajana. So, in common, if you just analyze these 12 Mahajans.
What is he great for?
Sorry?
What is he great for?
He is great for because he is offering his service as the best of ability for following the scriptures and ensuring everyone is abiding. He's also in charge of death. I mean, he punishes. If somebody does good, he will reward. If he does, somebody is doing sinful activities, he is in charge of punishing. He is Yamaraj. No? But he is also known as Dharmaraj. Dharma means the principle of religion. Raja means he is knower of the principle of religion. He is known for knowing the principle of religion, Dharmaraj. Great devotee, he is doing great service. I want to go a little more because of the time, I didn't want to go. So, out of these 12 Mahajans, Sukadeva Goswami, yes, he spoke the Srimad Bhagavatam. The whole instruction of the teachings is from Sukadeva Goswami, that's narrated by Sukadeva Goswami. Vyasaki is Sukadeva Goswami. Vyasaki or Sukadeva Goswami, the same person. So out of these 12 Mahajans, 7 were householders. So those who are thinking that, okay, I'm a householder, I cannot be perfect, which is wrong. Yeah. As a householder also, you can be. And Prahlad Maharaj and Pali Maharaj were in the family of Devi. They also in the list of Mahajan, great personalities. And the Sukadeva Goswami and Bhishma Dev was the very recent great. So these are the brief 12 Mahajan as described by Srila Prabhupada in the purport as mentioned. These are the personalities who propounded, established, and the personalities who we follow as Mahajana in a Sukathasa Panchayat. Yudhishthira Maharaj mentions that we should follow these great Mahajans. Alright, it's already 9 o'clock. Any quick question, comments? Yes.
I have 2 questions.
Yeah, okay, fire away. 2 questions.
One was that you said that Brahma is the king of all the demigods.
Mm-hmm.
Then why do they say that Indra is the king of all the demigods?
Very good question. That Indra is known as king of heaven.
Yeah.
And I mentioned that the Brahma is the
head
of the demigods, correct? Yeah. Do you know the difference? Okay. Because Lord Brahma, all the demigods also come, they're born from Lord Brahma. So who's higher than you or your father?
My father.
Yes. Does that answer the question? And Lord Brahma is the first living demigod, very first personality. Everything else comes from him. That's why he is the head of the demigods. But Lord Indra is the king of the demigods. There are also other the demigods there too. So he is the king. That's the difference.
And my second question was when if Prahlad was a devotee, then what was the problem with his father, that if he's a devotee, so why he can do his thing and his father can do his thing? What was the problem?
Oh, very good question. Prahlad Maharaj was a devotee. What does his father got a problem with? Everyone's supposed to be devotee, and he's a devotee, right? Prahlad Maharaj is a devotee. Why is Hiranyakashipu has a problem? Is that the question?
Yeah.
Right. Anybody want to answer? Why does Hiranyakashipu had a problem if everyone should be devotee?
Fathers think they are right and they want the kids to follow them. He's not following him because he is a demon. He's not following, so he wasn't happy with him.
Yeah. So yes, Hiranyakashipu was in the line of what is he was saying? What is he, what is Hiranyakashipu's whole motto? What's he telling everybody?
I worship me.
Worship
me.
Was it right thing?
No.
And Prahlad Maharaj was saying worship who?
Krishna.
Krishna. And why was Hiranyakashipu upset with Prahlad Maharaj?
Because he wanted that Prahlad Maharaj
to worship him. So that's why he was upset. Prahlad Maharaj was not worshipping him, he was upset. Prahlad Maharaj was worshipping Lord Vishnu, that's why he didn't want to. Because he was a demoniac family. Yeah, demoniac.
It's an example, if fathers, mothers don't have knowledge, kids are in trouble.
Mm-hmm.
Because they want to keep what they know.
Yes.
So if they have no knowledge, kids are in trouble.
Yeah, if father gives you a wrong instruction, then...
He
didn't
have proper knowledge, so kids are in trouble.
Any other? Okay, listen. Gantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Sri Prabhupada ki jai, Prabhupada ki jai, Thank God, Premanandi.